welcome to Ray and Tay today.
How can we really see
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. It's March. It's March Madness. It's brackets, and more brackets. So you're listening to Ray and Tay today, and I'm Ray, Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor, hyped up, and you know what? Warren Buffett owes me $1 billion. So let's get it going.
Know it.
So listen, you wanna we're gonna do our brackets on the air. If you wanna join in, call, listen, whatever, give us a call. 718-664-9098. Send us your brackets or join us at our group on ESPN Tournament Challenges. The group is Ray and Tay Today. R-A-E, the N sign or A N D. You can put in either or, you'll find us. T-A-Y. T-O-D-A-Y, today. Ray and Tay today. Join our group and pick your final four with us. You know, pick your brackets and send us your – you can email us your brackets at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com or just email us your final four. We're going to have fun. Ray, let them know how we're doing the show because we got something special to talk about. We were inspired by ESPN yesterday talking about our biggies that we grew up with and we love so much. So let them know what we're doing.
Absolutely. So we'll start with the breaking news. A little bit of breaking news in the world of sports, and then it'll be a large dose of college basketball. We'll talk brackets. We'll talk regions. We'll give you our final four picks. We'll give you some insight into each of the four regions. We'll take you around the 68 teams. I still can't get used to calling round one starts tomorrow. So the play-in, what I still call the play-in games are Tuesday and Wednesday. We'll go through all of that. Then we'll get nostalgic on you. We, Ray and Tay, are kids of the Big East. And we remember when the conference was formed in 1979. And now the last year was the last year of the conference as we know it. And now there's still a Big East, but it's essentially the Catholic Seven plus a couple of others. So we'll talk about the Big East. We'll talk about our memories of the Big East, and we'll give you our top five Big East players of all time.
Our starting lineup. We're going to go by position.
We think that'll be a lot of fun and interactive. So if you're listening and thinking about pulling the trigger, so like Tay said, call in. It's easy, 718-664-9098. Give us a call, join in. And then at the end, we'll finish up with a quick discussion of some NFL signings. Your boy Emmanuel Sanders apparently is
burning
some bridges in the same division. But, you know, he gets to play with Peyton Manning. We'll talk a little bit about that. The Giants made a big signing today, took a cornerback away from the Jets. The name will sound familiar, Rogers Cromartie. So we'll get into all of that. But first let's start with the breaking news.
Well, staying right there with the football, it appears that Roger Goodell has got a decision to make because, you know, and we send our prayers out to the whole Colts family. Jim Irsay caught with DWI and, you know, four felony possessions or, you know, possession of different, you know, drugs and prescriptions. And, I guess some people joke in the media about, you know, how they've seen – or even people in Indianapolis have sort of seen this coming, and he's a wild and renegade owner on Twitter and this and that or whatever. You know, you just want to see him get well, and then you want to see that Roger Goodell, you know, that he as a commissioner, he's got to basically reprimand his boss, one of his bosses.
Which is interesting, one of his 32 bosses, right? How do you do that? But – you know what? You have to drop the hammer on him because you gave the president of the Lions. Well, obviously you got the players, so you got to at least be as strict as the players, if not more. And then you gave the president of the Lions 30-day suspension when he had similar DUI issues.
And those Bronco guys.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the Broncos took care of that internally, and
yeah.
I guess the league just went ahead and agreed with what Elway and company did.
Right,
but,
and then we look at what they did with the Saints and, you know, Mickey Loomis, Sean Payton. So this is going to be fascinating, and I don't know what he's going to get, how you do it with an owner, because it's not like a billionaire, you can't hit him financially. I just don't think they can. So We'll keep an eye on that one. That'll be interesting. And then some baseball injuries. I mean, the D-backs and Dodgers, I think, are getting ready to start in Australia, the season, on Sunday. And then the regular season starts Monday, March 31st. We'll give you our preview either that week or the Friday before. Either way, Ray and Tay will preview the baseball season. We'll maybe do a special episode just for that. We'll see. But Corbin for the D-backs is – got ligament damage, tear, and they're saying he not only could have missed the opening day, he could miss the season. So we're waiting to see what's going to happen with him. And then, interesting, because they're playing each other, your boy Clayton Kershaw has been struggling in spring training, man. He's been
getting smacked around. He'll be fine. He got his money, so you're always worried about somebody gets their money, but he'll be fine. But on
the injury front,
we got more injuries, though. The Detroit shortstop, the young up-and-comer they got from Boston, Jose Iglesias, confirmed that he has two stress fractures in each leg. Well,
that's
one
crazy.
In each leg, and he needs to, he says he'll be back during the season, but that's a big blow to the Tigers. And then Jared Parker from the A's needs Tommy John surgery. So that's not good.
You hate to hear about this stuff, you know. And even though we're not talking NBA today, I just figured in breaking news, we got to just give a little bit of love to Anthony Davis. 41-20, 10-for-10 from the free throw line. That's impressive. Anytime you do it, but that was impressive. Anthony Davis is maybe he's hyped up for his Kentucky Wildcats and March Madness, and we'll get into that in a minute as we break down the brackets. But that's one of those things, Ray, where you're like, wow, Anthony Davis, like he's had quite a jump from rookie to second year. So
he's the next Tim Duncan. I mean, this guy is going to be a 20, 10, and 3 or 2.5, 3 blocks a game guy for the next 10 years. So if he can stay healthy, that team, now, unfortunately, they don't have their lottery pick, which they're going to give to Philadelphia. But
and they had a ton of injuries
this
year.
Holiday, and they do
he
have
was
Ryan
hurt.
Anderson.
Ryan
so
Anderson
they,
was hurt. Evans
some,
was hurt.
They've got some players. They got
They got talent. They'll be fine. They'll be fine. I think they still might have a first-round pick, not their lottery pick, somebody else's pick, but definitely have a second-round pick. They'll be fine. But let's get to it, man. It's time for the brackets. Before we start to break it down, were you, I guess, surprised with any omissions, you know, whether it's SMU, who was ranked 25th in the country, 23-9, they're not in. Indiana's not in. Indiana rejected to go to the NIT. I thought that was kind of interesting. Florida State, who had thought, you know,
they
maybe could have got in.
They rejected the CBI. I don't even know if they were invited to the NIT.
Okay. Well, the CBI, whatever. It's all, you know, whatever. And then the four number ones. Any surprises or any – I mean, obviously we could talk about the seeding issues. I mean, I think, you know, Louisville maybe seeded a little low. Michigan State could have been a 3. Louisville could have been a 2 or 3. But overall, I think they did a decent job.
Yeah, I think so. It is a little weird that a team – I mean, they did lose 3 in a row. But SMU, who was in the top 25 for – a good portion of the season doesn't make the tournament at all, especially given that you got those 4 playing games. What was interesting to me more than anything was the playing games are actually major conferences, right? There are some major conferences
for the 2 games
involved in a couple of the playing games, right? So one of them is
Auburn and
St. Mary's. Okay, that's fine. But check out the other ones, right? So Cal Poly and Texas Southern, okay, that's fine.
Yeah, and then those 2.
But you've got big boys, right? Iowa, Tennessee. I mean, that's a big time matchup.
They should both just be seeded, yeah.
So that was
Oklahoma State
that
shouldn't
stood
be
out.
Oklahoma State shouldn't be in the 8-9 game either. I think they're more of a 7 seed, but you know,
well,
it is what it is.
Come on. That's one or two lines. The one that's a little crazy, you mentioned it, is Louisville. I mean, they're ranked, going into the tournament, they're ranked number five,
five.
Overall, and they're a
fourth seed.
So that means if you're a fourth seed, that means you're ranked 13 to 16, and the national ranking is putting you at five, and the eye test says you're the best team in the country, potentially, how you're playing right now. So Louisville's very interesting, and that, you know, to miss by two lines for a top team is kind of – like, if you miss by one line, you say to yourself, okay, they're one above where they should be, one below where they should be, okay. Louisville –
yeah. Well, do you know what they said? They said when they matched them up – when they said when they matched them up against other teams and they looked from not just recent but from November to, you know, to now to March, that, you know, their some of their wins and this and that or whatever. It was great. It gets settled on the court.
Yes.
It gets settled on the court.
When it's all said and done, I'm not that upset at anything. Even SMU really isn't one of the top, you know, 30 teams in the country probably when you look at it. So they're in that next 30 to 35 group. So nothing is devastating, right? They didn't leave Virginia out of the tournament or, you know, completely disrespect Wisconsin or somebody like that, right? Yeah. So all of this is just on the
margin.
Where are
my Terps? I want my Terps. I didn't check that. I hope my Terps got the NIT invite. I got to look that up.
Oh, your Terps. We'll talk about that on another show.
All right, let's go to the regions, man. Let's go to the South. Me and you will just go down and let's do it. Florida against the winner of Mount St. Mary's in Albany. We're both taking Florida, right?
Yeah, I got to think that they're going.
The Gators. So this is interesting. Who are you liking, Colorado or Pittsburgh?
I like Pitt. I think they're tough. They are not your typical Jamie Dixon team, but I think they have enough to beat Colorado. I think their postseason, they showed some signs, a little inconsistent in the middle of the season, but I like Pitt.
They're starting to play well, had a big win in the ACC tournament, which definitely I think got them in, beating North Carolina, played well. I got Pitt as well. Now, this is the 5-12. It always happens every year, a couple of 12s win. VCU, Shaka and the boys, against Stephen F. Austin. This team is dangerous. I haven't seen them this year, but I got to go on what everybody's been saying. This could be one that's tricky. Are you going to go with the 12 upset? Are you going to stick with VCU?
I am. Every year a 12 beats a 5, sometimes two 12s, and I think Shaka's going to get shocked. And this Stephen F. Austin team is going to beat VCU.
Yeah, I've gone back and forth in this. One bracket I got VCU, one Stephen F. Austin for our show. I'll go with Shaka because I think he knows how to prepare him for the tournament. Then, strong team and playing well, Pac-12 champions, UCLA against Danny Manning's Tulsa. That's a nice matchup. What do you think in the 4-13? Who are you going with?
I think UCLA is too strong. I think their backcourt, along with Kyle Anderson, who's just a weird, you know, matchup at
6'9".
He's not tremendously athletic, but he's got basketball smarts. He can do a bunch
local
of things.
Local kid.
Yeah, Jersey kid. And ultimately they have too much. Zach LaVine is too athletic, and in the backcourt they're just going to have too much. I think UCLA takes care of Tulsa, and Danny Manning makes his debut as a head coach,
in the
tournament, but he loses one and done.
That's our guy, though. That's definitely our guy there. So, okay, so we got UCLA. Then you go down. This is a great one. Friend to the show, designer of our website, our boy Dustin, Mr. Westwater. He's hyped up about his Dayton Flyers being in against another team because he's an Ohio guy, Ohio State, 6'11". Can Dayton get the upset for our boy Dustin, or you think it's going to be the powerhouse?
No, I think it's
going to
be Ohio State, which is funny because Ohio State ducks this team. They don't want to play each other, apparently.
They
Ohio State doesn't want to play Dayton in the regular season. But, no, I like Ohio State here.
I got to go with Ohio State as well. I think the savvy and with the experience with Kraft and the coach, Mata. Then you got Syracuse against Western Michigan. Now, this is interesting only because of the fact that Syracuse, this team cannot really score. And if they're sort of missing shots and this and that, they could always get upset. But I got to go with the Cuse here. You going with the Cuse?
Yeah, they're shaky. The last, what, seven or eight games have been pretty shaky. And I told you, once
very
they lost that first game, they were about to lose a whole bunch more. And they were, what, 24-25-0? And then they just, the wheels started coming off. But I think a week to practice, to think about it, they'll be fine. They'll start to get it. They'll win a couple games in the tournament.
And they get out of the tough conference of the ACC. Interesting game, 7-10. New Mexico against Stanford.
My man Johnny Dawkins, the Stanford coach.
Johnny's solid, but I'm going with New Mexico, you know. Steve Alford leaves, goes to UCLA. But I think this time, I think New Mexico's got the experience, and I think they're going to be a tough out.
I agree with that. And then the next game, is there any way that Eastern Kentucky can beat Kansas without Joel Embiid, probably for the first two games?
I got a funny feeling that Kansas is going to be around a long time. I think Kansas wins this easily, and then we could work our way back up. When you see Kansas, basically they got to survive to the Sweet 16. Can they hold on enough? And it's really about our boy Tharp, right? Can he play? I think Wiggins has enough to you know, carry them for a game or two, but they're going to need some guard help. You know, whether it's, you know, Ellis, Tharp. I mean, they're going to have to step up, and they're all going to have to go to the glass. Can they beat New Mexico in that 2-7 matchup?
Yeah, I think so. I think that New Mexico presents some problems, but Kansas, ultimately, they're a little thin, so they can't get in foul trouble, but they ultimately still have enough to beat them without Embiid, and then if they win that second game, they'll get Embiid back, and we'll see how the freshmen reincorporates himself into the Kansas lineup, but yeah, I think Kansas goes to the Sweet 16.
Okay, so continuing to finish the region, what are you thinking about Ohio State Syracuse?
That's going to be a tough matchup. Neither team is great offensively. I think both teams play a different style of defense. You know, Kraft is the best on-ball defender probably in college basketball, and then you got Thompson, and you've got some long athletic players, but Syracuse has that long zone that you can't really prepare for.
And
so
I don't think Ohio State can shoot good enough against it.
Yeah, and I think ultimately that's the problem. Lenzel Smith and Kraft isn't enough of a scorer, and Thompson is shaky, you know, from the outside. I like Syracuse.
Yeah.
I like Syracuse to win two games and then meet Kansas.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. I got Syracuse going on. So what are you thinking, UCLA against FF Austin, or for me, UCLA against VCU?
I think UCLA wins. I think they beat
either
team.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
And then going back up to the top, man, Pittsburgh. Can't sleep on with Patterson against the Gators, your Gators.
Well, you know how I feel about
Gators.
My Gators. I said from about 10 games into the season that they're the best team in the country. I really love them, and Michigan State were the two teams that I was really, really high on. And unfortunately for me, they meet in the same
regional.
That's
Final Four, yeah.
In the Final Four, but they're on the same side of the bracket. But, yeah, I think Florida – I think you need to play special to beat Florida. Florida won't beat themselves. They defend – their one weakness, so a team like Syracuse might be able to give them trouble because they would have to have Florida shoot over them. And Florida, other than Frazier, they don't have a pure score. Scotty Wilbekin gets the ball in the basket, but he's not.
Yeah,
pure.
He could get hot, but yeah, right. That's the
he's
one thing
pure.
You got to do against Florida.
But Florida
well,
is so deep. I mean,
UCLA's got special talent, don't you think? Zach LaVine, Anderson. Can UCLA give Florida a little trouble? I mean, that's the one I wonder about.
I don't think so. I think Florida will run them up and down the court. They'll press them, trap them, and maybe they'll get, you know, a Tennessee situation where even when they fall behind, Florida has the confidence that they'll be able to come back. And I was surprised that Kentucky was able to come back on Florida on Sunday. But I really like this Florida team, except for the fact that that second knockdown shooter, Florida really has no weakness. They have size, they have athleticism, they have depth, They have a point guard in Scotty Wilbekin. I mean,
Chris Wright, yeah.
No, play a
they're
great
loaded.
Game.
All right, well, let's finish out this region. Then we got Florida going on. Syracuse against Kansas. I gotta go with Kansas. I think Embiid will be back. And I think they've got some special players and coaching and athletes that they can sort of handle this Syracuse team. And I think Kansas just can score much more than Syracuse can. And so that's where I think Embiid could be
Kansas,
a factor against Syracuse.
I think Syracuse could beat Kansas.
Christmas isn't big enough.
Embiid doesn't come back, but believe that with Embiid, they're too much. They're too much. Yeah, so I think
all
Kansas.
All right, well, the Elite Eight, Florida, Kansas. This is what we both got. Who's going to the Final Four out of the South?
I like Florida in this. I think Florida has too much. So even with Embiid, Florida has some size. They're not huge, but they're strong. Patrick Young is strong, and then they have Finney Smith,
and
they have Chris Walker off the bench, and they have some experience, and they've got Prather and Yeget up front too. So I like Florida. I like Florida's Final Four.
Yeah, I got to go with the Gators too. I think at the end of the day, they're too good to. And I think Donovan, he knows how to push the button. He's got this team. The last couple of years, they didn't go as far as people thought they would in the tournament. Well, this is the team that can make it. So let's move on down. Let's check out Virginia.
UVA, baby.
Yeah, they're going to be Coastal Carolina, number one seed. UVA advances. Big things for them. This is where a very interesting game. George Washington is probably an underrated team. They're back in the tournament. You remember, 05-06, they had a good run. George Washington, you know, was a strong team. They were one of those mid-majors a couple years back before the Butlers and everybody that sort of was shocking people. I'm going to have to go with Memphis, though, because Jackson and their guards, those three guards that they have are tough. I think Memphis could be a dangerous team.
Yeah, they're
get
dangerous.
It going.
They can't shoot. They can't shoot, but they can run. So Josh Pastner has got these kids running
He's
up and down.
Team.
They can get up and down, and I think they have enough to beat GW.
So what about Cincinnati? This is another one, 5-12. I think Harvard – is tough. I mean, they got a tough guard. I think they got athletes. Tommy Amaker's got a good team there. And
yeah, they got
two
all-conference players that sat out last year. Remember, everybody was fearful that would, you know, hurt them. They ended up winning. So
and they're playing against Sean Kilpatrick in Cincinnati, but Sean Kilpatrick's the only real legit scorer on that team, and you know I love him. But this is the 12-5 upset that I like here. I got to go with Harvard here.
Okay. I can't deny that. I'll take Cincinnati just because I think this is a special year for Sean Kilpatrick, but I wouldn't be surprised if Harvard takes him down. But I'll take Cincinnati in this.
Yeah, he's got to drop 30 to me for them to win. So here it is, Michigan State against Delaware. Delaware don't sleep. It's got a good team, but
Nah, the Blue Hens don't have
enough. We both love Izzo.
We've talked about Izzo all year.
Yeah, now this is where our heart lies. Number 6, number 11, the Big East champions, Providence, playing against our Tar Heels of the ACC.
Jekyll and Hyde Tar Heels.
I gotta go Tar Heels. I think Paige is going to have a good tournament. I think McAdoo stays out of foul trouble and wakes up.
Yeah,
That's what he has to do.
I can't speak.
And maybe you get
any
a good play out of Bryce Johnson and Meeks.
First round. What do you think about the next game? Iowa State against North Carolina Central. You think NCC's got some chances? Got a chance?
Yeah, that would be great, but nah. Melvin. Melvin Edgem is ridiculous. Iowa State is a dangerous team.
And DeAndre, don't call me Big Daddy Kane, can also hoop it up. So they've got some impressive forwards, and that should be a great 3-6 matchup. We'll get to that in a sec. But what about your boy Shabazz Napier and Boatwright as kind of the backcourt, senior and junior backcourt against St. Joe's?
I like St. Joe's. because I like the coach and I like that they're scrappy. I just think UConn has been tested this year. They've played some good opponents, have some very big wins, and I just think UConn is ready. I think Napier is ready, not for a Kemba Walker run, but I think he can be special, and I think he will be in that first game. I got UConn.
All right. And then the next game, Villanova-Milwaukee. The number two seed Villanova could have been a one had they gone a little farther in their conference tournament, but number two seed.
Nova all day. They are, maybe St. Joe's wins. It's a great Philadelphia matchup, Villanova-St. Joe's, but I think
big
it's a
five.
Big East, an old Big East matchup in Villanova.
Right, it's either, that's great, though. It's either old Big East or old Big Five, or current Big Five. So either way, Villanova's going to have a rivalry game.
Yeah, no, that's going to be fun. So let's work our way back up. Villanova, UConn, man. What are you thinking?
I like Villanova. Even though they had a disappointing end of the season, they only had three losses coming into the tournament, the conference tournament, Big East Conference. So I think they have too much. I think the Connecticut relies too much on Shabazz Napier, and if you can get the ball out of his hands, I think Villanova can win that game.
Yeah, I have to go with Nova only because I think UConn is the poor rebounding team, so I'm gonna say Nova can get it done, and I think Jay Wright's ready to sort of get to a Sweet 16. No, he's had some bad upsets in the tournament, so I think this year the two seed, they're ready to rock and roll. Iowa State, UNC. Do we go with our hearts or do we go with our brains, baby? What do we do, Ray?
I got Iowa State. I think they're a tough, tough out. I think they're a number three seed. Maybe that's a perfect for them, but that team is tough. And, Carolina travels well, so Carolina probably have more fans in the stands, but I still like the Cyclones in this game. It hurts me, but Roy Williams' team has been Jekyll and Hyde, so maybe one game will be Jekyll, one game will be Hyde, and you can't play a bad game against this Iowa State team and still win. I think
Fred
Hoiberg,
he's got it going.
Clicking on all cylinders, so I like Iowa State.
I agree.
State in this game.
I'm going Iowa State, I agree. Then, nice matchup here, potentially, whether it's Harvard or Cincinnati for you going up against Michigan State. Michigan State's too much.
I love Michigan State. I think if they beat themselves, especially early in the tournament.
Yeah.
So, Michigan State all
now, this is the one that I was talking to you about. What do you think about Memphis going up against Virginia? Can they – because the one question I have about this game, I like Joe Harris and I like what, Akil Mitchell and what Virginia's doing, and Tony Bennett's a great coach. The only thing that I noticed about Memphis, they kind of rise up to their opponents. They played great against Connecticut, Louisville. They've had some big games. They beat was it Butler or Gonzaga? They beat one of them this year when it was down in Memphis. But I'm gonna go Virginia, but I'll just say keep your eye out on Memphis. So I'll take Virginia.
I'll take Memphis. You know what? I had Virginia originally, but I'll take Memphis in here because Virginia can't score. So if Virginia gets down by eight or more and you force them to come from behind, I'm not sure that defense against this athletic team can bother them as much as it can other teams. So Virginia has to play from ahead. So I think it's very important the first half that Virginia gets a nice
Joe Harris
cushion.
Gets them going.
Yeah.
And then either way, Virginia or Memphis against Michigan State. We both got Michigan State.
Yeah, I got Michigan State. Take care of business.
Yeah. So the bottom half, man, Iowa State, Villanova.
I like the Cyclones again. I like the Cyclones. No, I like Iowa State, man.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying chalk to that point. I agree. I'm going with the Cyclones. So, you wind up with a 3 and a 4 here. To leave the region to go to the Final Four, I think we're both going with the same team. It's Izzo's tournament, huh?
I think it's his tournament. I think ultimately, forget that they're a 4 seed, I think they're the best all-around team if everybody's healthy. And like I said, it's too bad they run up against Florida because to me that's the national championship game. Wasn't that – that was the 2000 national championship game, right, with the with all those kids from Flint, the Flintstones, right?
Yeah.
Flint, Michigan.
Yeah.
So
Florida
team. Too bad that's a national semi, but yeah, that's what it is.
Well, let's take it up top to the West. You know, Arizona's back, and I think they're looking hot, and they'll take care of Weber State. I think they've learned now how to play without Ashley. But this 8-9, what are you feeling? I mean, are you believing in what Gonzaga can do, David Stockton's last year, Johnson, or did everybody wake up a sleeping giant in number 9, Oklahoma State?
Yeah, I like Oklahoma State. I think middle of the season – you would have had them as a 3 seed, potentially a 2 or
mm-hmm.
3 seed, and now they're a 9. So I like Oklahoma State in this one, and if they can get their act together, I think they can win several games.
Yeah, that's they're going to be dangerous. Marcus Smart, I like what Forte, Brown, Williams, that whole team is loaded. This is interesting. Oklahoma against North Dakota, the next game. Oklahoma number 5 against North Dakota State, number 12. Everybody's been picking North Dakota State. They say, you know, they got a great field goal percentage. They're big inside. You know what? I like Lon Kruger.
That's the kid that's 7'5", right? That's that huge monster. Is he on North Dakota State? I've never seen.
Yeah,
him.
I think they got a real big guy. I got to tell you, Sooners have surprised me all year, and I think Lon Kruger is a heck of a coach. I think Oklahoma finds a way to win this game because they can score. They don't defend, but they can score. I'm going to go with Oklahoma.
Okay. Yeah, I guess hype. I'll go Chuck. I picked 2-12 already, so I guess I'll go Chuck on this one too. Oklahoma.
So break it down for us, your boy, my boy, Steve Fisher. Always in the tournament,
Michigan,
right?
Man coaching Michigan.
Always in the tournament.
Yeah, I think he's got a nice little squad this year. A little under the radar, you know. They were as high as 7-8 this year.
Yeah, they're a good team.
I think they're good. I think that they have experience. I think they can win a couple games. So yeah, I like San Diego State to beat New Mexico State in this 4-13 matchup.
Now, this is a good one, 6-11, Baylor against Nebraska. We spoke about this off air, just like this Nebraska team and the run that they've been on in the Big Ten. I think that they've been tested, but I think what's fascinating is that the two best conferences this year were the Big Ten and the Big 12, and they're battling against each other in this one right here. But I think Baylor Bears, you know, Austin and some of their players have gotten it together. They went through a slump, but they went on a run at the end to make it into the tournament, and I got to go Baylor here.
I agree. I like Baylor. Even though Nebraska's been playing well as of late,
yeah,
had a couple of really impressive wins to get them even into the tournament, and playing in the Big Ten helps. But, yeah, I like Baylor a lot. I think Baylor, again, had an up-and-down season, but they've shown signs that they can play. So they might just blind you with those funky neon, you know, uniforms.
What
Baylor
color, right?
Oregon.
Now,
granted,
yeah,
they could potentially see each other. That could
be great.
The worst visual. Like, it's okay if one team wears, like, the crazy neon, but if both teams were wearing crazy neon colors, I'd be like, oh,
be
my
funny.
God. Turn off my TV. I might listen to that game on the radio.
The radio, right? See who's calling the game. And then next, you got to go with Dougie Buckets. Creighton against Louisiana.
I'm not. Louisiana Lafayette.
Ray
I'm
with his
saying,
special.
I'm saying that Dougie
Buckets gets knocked out.
And they're saying that if he has a great tournament, he could finish behind Pete Maravich as the second overall scorer in NCAA history.
So you don't
want to
see it happen. This is personal for you. This is personal for you?
No, I'm rooting for Dougie Buckets. I like him, and I hope that he gets to go to a good NBA team.
I think they're going to win.
But I think Louisiana Lafayette breaks his heart. I think
so.
Wow.
That's an upset special. I like that. Okay, so what about BYU Oregon? Another upset special. I got to go with the Ducks. I think George Rice would be happy. They actually showed very well last year in the tournament. And what I like about Oregon, all five guys can kind of score. They're kind of tough and from the Pac-12. And then obviously Wisconsin against American. You got to go Bo Ryan here. You know, all year I spoke about Izzo and Ryan, so that's my guy right there, Bo Ryan. And this team, Wisconsin's got more offense. Trey Jackson and Bruss, they've got a lot of ball handlers, and they're physically tough. So bring it back up, Wisconsin, Oregon. What are you thinking?
I got to think that this is not your father's Wisconsin team. I heard that.
No,
I like that
score.
Line. They score. They're not great defensively, and they score. So it's almost the opposite of what your typical Wisconsin team would look like.
Right.
But, again, this was a top 10 team at times, a top 5 team potentially. So I like Wisconsin. I think that Oregon can be had. Like I said, they've been a little inconsistent. Wisconsin the last month and a half has been playing great. So I think Wisconsin ultimately too much inside, outside. Wisconsin wins the game.
I have Wisconsin as well. Then I have Creighton against Baylor. You've got Creighton, Baylor against Louisiana.
Right.
Who are you picking, Baylor?
I like Baylor. I like Baylor.
Okay.
I think that front court and Isaiah Austin might have a little something to say, coming out party. I like their size. I like Baylor's size. I think they're also athletic. I think Baylor has too much.
I actually am going to go with Baylor, but I'm going to go with Baylor over Dougie Buckets. I think Baylor, they mix it up a little bit at man zone. I think Baylor can cause some trouble for Creighton, so I'll take Baylor over them. And then swinging back up, oh boy, San Diego State against Oklahoma. What are you thinking here? I got to go San Diego State. I think San Diego State
is tough. I'm going with Fisher, San Diego State. I think they have a little too much for Oklahoma. I think Oklahoma has kind of flown under the radar screen, but I like San Diego State.
And this is the game of the tournament right here. Number one, Arizona, without Ashley, but with Gordon and Nick Johnson and their stars, against Marcus Smart and the Oklahoma State Cowboys. Who are you taking? This is a big one.
I'm taking Oklahoma State. I'm saying, you know what? Arizona's good, and they've played out west in a Pac-10 league that got six teams in the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
But I like Oklahoma State, and not even for Marcus Smart. I like now they lost two players, remember, Oklahoma State did. They lost a forward and a guard to injury and to suspension. But I still like the inside out. Their forwards are athletic. And I think if Forte can hit a few threes to stretch the defense
dangerous.
A little bit, yeah, I like them. I like them.
I think Marcus Smart's got something to prove, and I think he just might be a little bit more special than Nick Johnson and Gordon. And Johnson, to me, he disappears in so many games. So I think Oklahoma State is going to win. But I'm not surprised that Arizona wins.
We both have 9-1.
So, we both got Oak State. Now, this is the question. You got Oak State against San Diego State. I gotta stay with Marcus Smart.
Yeah, me too. I like Oklahoma State in this one also. I like them. I like them going and meeting. Well, I like them meeting Wisconsin.
Okay, so Wisconsin over Baylor. I actually agree with that. We haven't spoke about this off air, so we're doing it live, folks. Ray and Tay's brackets. So Wisconsin, Oak State to go to the Final Four. Who are you taking?
I like Wisconsin. I think ultimately the discipline and the experience playing in the Big Ten, even though the Big 12 is a great conference too, but I like Wisconsin in this game. I think they'll show the nation why they are consistently a tough, tough team.
You know, I've gone back and forth in this region here between Wisconsin, Arizona, and Oak State, and I actually think Jimmy Jackson's son is going to have a big tournament, Trey Jackson. I think he's going to do well, and I love Bo Ryan, and I think their toughness. I think Oak State, they do get into areas where if they're not shooting the threes, Wisconsin's got enough offense to beat them. So that's where I'd take Wisconsin going to the Final Four there. And our last bracket and region to meet Wisconsin in the Final Four, let's open it up. What do you think with the number one seed here?
Yeah, I think Wichita's got too much. I don't know Texas Southern and I don't know Cal Poly, but I know Wichita State. They were in the Final Four last year, and we talked
about. They're no fluke.
Early, and we talked about, you know, they might
stand
have
up
second...
Sullivan County Community College, baby, the finest, Quinn Anthony Early.
They might have the second best point guard in the nation, and they've got Ron Baker, the shot maker.
Yeah.
So they've got a nice
fleet is great.
They've got a tough bracket, but they got a nice team. Yeah, I like Wisconsin.
So
I mean, I like
8-9 game is kind of a good battle. I think this Kansas State team is being underrated. People are sleeping on them. I just think Kentucky's got too much talent. They'll win, but I wouldn't be surprised if Kansas State wins that one. But I'm taking Kentucky.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Kentucky's too tough.
All right. Now, St. Louis at the 5 seed going up against the play-in of NC State or Xavier. I'm taking a 12 here. I think NC State is going to beat Xavier, and I think NC State will beat St. Louis.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
I could see that happening.
Warren is a stud of a player.
Yeah. TJ Warren as a sophomore is really impressive. You know, he's the ACC Player of the Year. It could have been, I guess, Jabari Parker was in the running. But this guy's pretty good. So, first they got to beat Xavier. But let's say they do. Look, St. Louis stumbled a little bit at the end. I could see that happening. I mean, I'll take St. Louis, but I could definitely see Warren doing his thing.
Okay. Then down with the 4 seed, those Cardinals, Louisville, baby.
Yeah, I think that they're too
going
much.
Going up against coach against coach.
Yeah, coach against assistant coach. I think Louisville's too much. I think that they'll just continue the run they're on.
And then this is another one. I don't necessarily love this UMass team. This UMass team, to me, I think UMass is going to go down. You know, I think what you're going to see here is that UMass is facing probably an Iowa team with Roy Devin Marble. You know, I spoke about him during the year on our show. I think Tennessee could beat UMass as well. I think UMass is on their way down, but I'll take Iowa.
Okay. Yeah, I think so too. I think either team beats them. I think even Tennessee could beat them. So I like the winner of the play-in game.
Ah, okay. So we're both right there. The number 3 seed. It's one of the best 3 seeds ever, huh? Duke with Jabari Parker and the boys. Got to believe the freshman of the year, they'll beat Mercer. Then you got Texas ASU. I'm going to tell you, I'm going with Carson, the point guard from ASU, the big shot blocker they have, too, the number 10 seed. I think Texas doesn't have the experience. Barnes is a great coach, but I like ASU, baby. They're a tough team.
I'm going to take Texas. I'm going to take the other side. I think Rick Barnes has been there, what, 15 the last 17 years. He's been to the NCAA tournament. I saw both of these teams play several times this year. I like Texas in this matchup. I think Texas is kind of an underrated team. Now, if they win, they would meet the winner of the next game, Michigan-Wofford, which I'll take Michigan,
take Michigan.
I think you will as well. So it's a tough, tough matchup for them.
Yeah. Well, going back up, I think Michigan beats ASU or Texas. So
Michigan
in there.
I think next game, Michigan is one of those teams that was fighting for a final, for a top 4 seed. I like Duke.
And they're doing this all without McGarry. That's what's incredible. This Michigan team could be a championship team
Kudos
this year, I think.
Beeline,
so,
you know,
out
of his team.
So we're both going to take Duke probably, right, over Iowa or Tennessee.
Yep.
And then Louisville. Louisville against, you know, for me, NC State. I got to go with Louisville no matter who they play in that game. I think Louisville right now, Montrez Harrell.
What's up, Montez?
Montez is a beast, and Russ Smith, they're balling out. I think Louisville's
bench.
Well,
he's less ridiculous these days, right? He's passing the ball a little bit more.
No, he's becoming a point guard, so he can do it in the NBA. But I think he's very focused, but he can score. If he's got to, Russ can score. And the defensive pressure, they're not as good defensively as last year, but Louisville's a tough knockout.
So the question is in the next game, he got between Kentucky and Wichita State.
Can I tell you? Every time I want to fill out a bracket, I go back and forth. This is honestly a coin toss. But for some reason, I'm going to go with Wichita State. You know why? Because what they did last year, they almost beat Louisville. They gave Louisville the best game. And as much talent as Kentucky has, I think the Harrison brothers are good one game, bad the next, good one game, bad the next, and Wichita State's got enough experience, and Van Fleet might be one of the best point guards, underrated point guards in the nation, along with my man Carson from ASU, and I think the Harrison twins aren't ready for it. I think that Wichita State's savvy, their physicalness, they take care of Randall and keep him limited, and they win.
I like
that. I got to go Wichita State.
I think that game against Florida was big. I think almost coming back and winning the SEC was fantastic for them. I think they finally are starting to gel as a team. I like their front court of Cauley Stein and Poitras and Randall. Of course, Harrison and Young. I like Kentucky. I think talent-wise, they're more talented. The question is who plays better. And now Wichita State is talking about upperclassmen. But I'm going to go with the kids. I'm going to go with Kentucky.
Okay, either one, Wichita or Kentucky against Louisville.
I got them losing to Louisville.
I got Louisville as well. Then on the downside, this is good. Two against three. They played each other this year. Duke against Michigan. What do you think? Do you think Stauskas has gotten better since that game?
He has, but I think Duke wins this game.
I think Parker's special. I'm going to go with Duke, too.
Yeah, Jabari Parker's special. I like Krzyzewski's coaching resume.
And I like Hood.
And
Jefferson
Hood,
and Plumlee
exactly.
will give
me,
you some things.
He's the X factor, right? They have 1.5 superstars, Duke does. So they have role players. So
right,
they're
but
not
when Hood
big,
plays good.
They're not big, but when they play D and you've got Rodney Hood as a second star that's hard to guard, I like Duke to win this game.
And you know what? If Dawkins and Suleiman hit a couple of threes, look, you know, you never get something out of Cook. They're tough. But Louisville, number four, against number three. Duke, this is – I'm going Louisville. Louisville's going to the final four.
I do, too. I go Louisville also. I go Louisville.
All right, so final four, Florida against Michigan State, Louisville against Wisconsin. We actually all have it the same, even though I think Arizona could make it in there in that Wisconsin region, but you just never know. Each time we'll pick it different. Who are you taking? I'm gonna take Michigan State over Florida in a great battle, but I just think Michigan State is special, special, special. Payne, Dawson, Harris, and Appling—they're just a little bit too much for Florida Gator guys. I know.
This is the one that should be a national championship game.
I know. This is hard for Ray.
Oh, Lord. Just to not take the same bracket, I'll take Florida. I'll take Florida on this one. We'll
go with the Gators
because I've been talking Gator power for all
year. You have
been
talking about them Gators.
I need Frazier to hit those jumpers and Scotty Wilbekin to not turn it over and let their press do its thing.
And then Louisville, Wisconsin. I'm going to take Louisville.
I like Louisville also.
National championship game. Who's your champion? Mine is Michigan State.
I'll take Florida. I don't think Louisville's a good enough team to go back-to-back. I like Florida. I think they've been the best team start to finish. They're constructed the best. They're the only team that's top 20 in offense, top 20 in defense. And they've got a senior point guard, and they got four seniors on that team. And it would be great to have a senior-laden team win the national championship. So I'll go with Florida. If it weren't for Michigan State, I would say Florida. So, yeah, I'll go with Florida.
That is great. Ray has got Florida winning it all. Tay has got Michigan State. Before we get into honoring the Big East, give everybody – one team that neither one of us picked, your one upset team that could potentially win it all.
So my one team that could win it all that nobody has talked about, that's tough. But I'm going to give you one that's a little bit off the beaten path. Iowa State. They'd have to go through Michigan State, which is a really, really tough matchup. But I'll say the Iowa State Cyclones Freddie Hoiberg, the mayor, and his Iowa State Cyclones.
Wow. You're kind of stepping on my toes there, but I like Iowa State as well. But to be different, I'm going to go a little bit different from Ray. I think I do like Iowa State, though. I think they're really tough. But let's see. Who's that one team? I'd like to see Dougie Buckets go on a run, but I guess if I had to think of somebody that's a little different, it's not too different, but it's going to be Oklahoma State. I think that they have a team that has the potential to be special because of a special player, Marcus Smart. And I think what he's gone through and the lowest seed that ever win has been a 4.
No. I think it's been an 8. I think Villanova was an 8.
Oh, Villanova was an 8. So this would be the highest seed ever in a 9. So I think Oklahoma State is my team. That they would be the upset special, and they're just a great team. They're a great team. So look, we'll be talking about the brackets. We'll be back on Saturday. We'll cover each in between round. We'll talk about Thursday and Friday's games Saturday morning, so check out Ray and Tay. We'll probably come to you about 12 Eastern. Check us out. But right now we got to talk about the Big East. It's hard to go through. We'll give you some honorable mentions, but we just did our starting five all-time Big East team. And the Big East is a great conference. I mean, it started in 79. You know, we saw everything last night about Dick Cavett and the early coaches, John Thompson, and even some of the negative racial stuff that was going on against John Thompson and Patrick Ewing. People would call him an ape. And I kind of remember that as a young kid. And, you know, if you remember that, and they talked about it, sort of the backdrop, everybody rocked those Hoya sneakers and Georgetown jackets. It was hard because you and I grew up as Tar Heel and St. John's fans, but Georgetown was sort of like, you know, the voice of a lot of people who felt disenfranchised. But let's go over it. If you want to start with one honorable mention that's not in our starting lineup for controversial reasons or whatever, we based it on winning. But the guy that would have to be only 2 years at Georgetown, Allen Iverson, would have to be our sixth man in honorable mention.
Well,
right? I mean,
tie with Dwayne Pearl Washington.
Well,
I think
yeah,
those two,
yeah. Well, Pearl changed Syracuse with, 15 a game, 6 assists, over 6 assists, a couple of steals. But Pearl changed the recruiting for Syracuse. Iverson was amazing. I mean, 23.6 a game, 3.6 steals. He had like 3 rebounds, 4 assists. Iverson was incredible in 2 years at Georgetown. Why don't you start us off with who is our center at Big East?
Our center, it's hard to imagine anybody else in this position, but Patrick Ewing. 3 Final Fours. You could argue
amazing.
They were the best team in all 3 of them. Only
yeah.
won one. Up in Seattle with Michael Graham, but they could have easily won 3 national championships and really put
mm-hmm.
Georgetown, that small Jesuit school in D.C., on the map. So by far, he's the unanimous choice, I would think, for Big East center.
And the face of the Big East, in a way. Patrick sort of formed the Big East for the tough physical basketball. Georgetown's defense, everybody knew about the Hoya defense, and they were legendary. So it's without a doubt Georgetown. So then let's mix it up and let's go to the point guard.
Yeah, Kemba, let him know.
Kemba Walker. Kemba was amazing with the great Big East tournament run. Then
5 in a row to even make the tournament.
To make the tournament. Then to sweep the whole tournament and win to a total of 11 in a row. To cut down the Nets, over 16 a game, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. He's about to he's about to make the playoffs in the NBA because Ray doesn't want the Hornets to make it, and they're going to do it, the Bobcats. Kemba Walker is our point guard. I mean, one thing that we had to go with was strictly the fact that he won the chip, and he put a team on his back in amazing fashion and form. So Kemba Walker is our point guard.
Yeah, 2 Final Fours, 1
championship.
Yeah, he was amazing. So Kemba Walker and 2 unbelievable Big East, Big East tournaments, but one that was five games in a row and literally was the miniature version of Danny Manning 25 years later. So Yeah, Kemba Walker is our point guard. So who's our
shooting guard?
Tell
about our power forward.
You want to go power forward? Okay.
I was going to say, tell me about our man. This is your guy. You were a big fan of him.
That's my guy. You know he's a lefty. We had to get at least one. It turns out we have two lefties on the squad.
Yeah.
Derek Coleman. Now, he didn't win a national championship, but he went to the national championship game as a freshman in 1987, lost to Steve Alford, Bobby Knight, and
Indiana
squad.
Keith Smart with the jumper.
That was a very close game. Keith Smart hits the jumper at the end, and they let the final 3-4 seconds run off the clock. He and Cycli didn't communicate well, but Derek Coleman, the ultimate weapon, left-handed, 6'11", could shoot inside, outside, rebounder.
Averaged 15 and 10, over 2 assists and 2 blocks. He
number
was
one overall pick in the draft, as was Patrick Ewing. So that's our guy, Derek Coleman, D.C.
Now, at the two guard, we're going to go, and we'll save the best for last for Ray, his favorite guy right there. At the two guard, this was hard. You know, everybody thinks about Ray Allen and yada, yada, yada. Well, you know what? There was another guy at UConn named Richard Hamilton. You know him as Rip. Over 19 points a game, 19.8, 20 points a game, 4.5 rebounds, 2 assists, a little bit over a steal a game, got the championship, that UConn team. Who was in the backcourt with him? Was that Kevin Ollie? I can't remember. Hamilton?
No, that
who
was
he played with.
The little guy, the chubby dude, what's his name?
Oh gosh, no, okay, now I know who you're talking about. So, but Hamilton basically carried, it was a good team effort, but he was the main cog in UConn winning, I guess that was their first championship, right?
Yeah, the one in 99.
For Calhoun. And
yep.
Rip was the man. Rip was the man. Had a couple of, they've won, I believe, one or two Big East titles while he was there? At least one.
Yeah. Rip's the, and the thing is, Ray Allen may have had better stats, but Rip won a championship. So that's why
Rip got the championship. But Ray also had 19 a game, but he had 6 rebounds, 2 assists. Ray was great. You know, he's on that honorable mention. Those three guys off the bench, Iverson, Allen, and Pearl Washington, definitely. And, you know, probably Alonzo Mourning, too. We can't just Alonzo. Alonzo was the man. But Richard Hamilton is our two guard. And then at the small forward.
Khalid El-Amin, that was the kid. That was,
yes,
that
Khalid
was
El-Amin. Yes,
that
Khalid
was
El-Amin.
Point guard.
And to finish off our honorable mention, I guess it would be our second team. Also, you'd have to throw in not just Mourning, but we'd have to throw at the four, another lefty, Walter Berry. So we love Walter Berry. That's
Walter Berry dominated, won the National Player of the Year in 86 and 85. He was the best, he and our other guy, our starting small forward, might as well say the name, Chris Mullen.
That lost
John
to Auburn and Chuck Person in the playoff in the tournament, that killed us.
That was
heartbreaking. So who's the small forward? You said it.
Chris Mullen, another lefty, local kid from Brooklyn, and really was the face of St. John's in the heart of the Big East's apex. So Patrick Ewing represented Georgetown. Chris Mullen represented St. John's. And, boy, what was a great year was 1985 was. They went at it. They met four times. Can you imagine? And the last time was for the national semifinal, and then they ended up, Georgetown ended up winning, but Chris Mullen was the face of the Big East, face of St. John's,
and Villanova had beat Memphis. Remember Villanova beat Memphis?
Yep.
That Mel Turpin team. He averaged 19.5 a game, Ray, over 4 boards, 3 assists. Chris Mullen was the man. He put, you know, a Brooklyn kid, I guess, right? Put Queens on the map with St. John's. Chris Mullen was he's one of the best small forwards in NBA history, but one of the best college players and shooters.
Players
and
of all time, sure.
Yeah, so that's our Big East. You know, who would you pick for Big East coach? Who's going to coach us? Do we have to go with Boeheim because he's you know, held
so
the
you
longevity?
Know, he only won one.
It might have to be John Thompson.
In NCAA titles.
The big tough guy, John Thompson, you know, did
maybe
the most.
Maybe John Thompson, just because he is what represents, but the most successful coach, certainly in the last 10 years, is Jim Calhoun. And he's a tough, scrappy fighter, and, you know, he had
Calhoun
dealt with cancer and medical issues. So Jimmy Calhoun could be our coach too.
And we can't go without mentioning Lou Conner-Seca and the sweater. Ah, the Big East. What more can we say, man? The Big East was our conference. It was our era. It was our time. Anybody that can remember from, you know, really just 80 right to probably 89, it was like the mecca. It was the mecca of basketball. And Villanova won a championship. Providence got to the Final Four. Syracuse, you know, then UConn won.
Seton Hall could have won in 89.
Oh, that was it.
Providence was there in 87. And Syracuse could have won. So it was a great, I mean, with 3 out of 4 teams in 1985. So Big East, that decade of the 80s was definitely the Big East decade. And
ironically
enough, the next decade, the 90s and 2000s, UConn wins 3. So.
And Louisville won as a Big East member. We were talking about it off air in terms of looking at the Big East and some of the other conferences. And so Ray and I, during the tournament, we'll bring you some of our other all-time teams from other conferences because it's kind of fun. We'll probably do the ACC next. I mean, ACC is probably the all-time winning conference in college basketball, but the Big East, it's special, especially because it's gone. So,
yeah.
Well, let's wrap up the show, man, with a little bit of NFL free agency, because what's been happening has been pretty fascinating. Lately, you have Julius Peppers leaving the Bears, going to a rival in the Packers. I don't know how much he has left in the tank. Signs a 3-year deal, but it'll be interesting to see, you know, where they go. Like you said today, the Giants over the weekend, they get Walter Thurman from the Seahawks to 1-year deal, and then they get Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, right? Today?
Yeah, 5-year deal they signed Cromartie to.
That's
so,
DRC
the
is a great corner.
And the Jets looking at Rodgers-Cromartie to replace his brother or his cousin, Antonio Cromartie. So that the Jets now are in desperate need of secondary, but that was a signing that the Giants really, really needed. So they shored up their secondary. Speaking of shoring up their secondary, the Patriots go get Darrelle Revis and Browner.
Yeah.
So they lose Aqib Talib, but they bring back arguably two equally or if not more talented players when they're healthy and they're not suspended. So that should be very
on top of that, though, the Patriots re-sign Edelman and then sign your guy from Carolina, Brandon LaFell.
Yeah.
So they've made some good moves. I wonder if they're going to keep Wilfork. That's the question for the Patriots. Almost in a comical, I got to say, Ray's Cowboys have done it. They signed Brandon Wheaton to a 2-year deal.
That's okay. I think he's a solid backup. I don't have a problem with that.
No. I'm joking. I mean, what are you going to get rid of Orton, though? I mean, I guess maybe Kyle Orton's done.
Yeah. I mean, you got Wheaton for cheap, 2 years, $1.5 million or something like that, $2 million.
Yeah. And then the Rams
signed James Jones to a 3-year deal. So they some wide receiver help. I thought he might come to the Jets or maybe go to Carolina. Carolina still has no wide receivers. I don't know what they're going to do.
They're doing the worst job ever, and different people on Twitter have been joking about their roster on Twitter about their receivers. And to me, I would have gone out there and tried to get a James Jones and, you know, like another, you know, veteran, whether it's a Santonio Holmes or something. They could have done something to salvage. They didn't get Sanders. They didn't get anything done. So when you look at free agency, and Sidney Rice might even go back to the Seahawks, they've really messed it up. I mean, Kenny Britt's still out there, Miles Austin. I don't know what's going on in Carolina.
I don't know either. Well, let's give shout out to Seahawks for re-signing their kicker, Hauschka. So we never give love to the kickers, but he got big money, though. He got 3 years, $9 million.
No,
so
he's probably the best kicker in the game.
Leg. Yeah, and you know what?
And we got to talk about Sanders, though, the whole controversy.
Let's finish on that note because, yeah, we're wrapping it up. But, yeah, let's finish up on this Emmanuel Sanders. So he's your boy from Pittsburgh. Apparently he went – now, all the facts are not out, but apparently he went to Kansas City, had an agreement, and I don't know what that means, a handshake. He obviously didn't sign any papers that he was going to the Chiefs, and then ends up less than 24 hours later introduced as a Bronco. So what are your thoughts, and does anything need to be looked at?
I think the agent, you know, obviously it's the agent that would get in trouble if this happened, that they went on and sort of
shopped.
And
he's been decertified once before.
Yeah, this
so
would
he
be
had
his
an
second
issue
time.
Once before.
$15 million. I think what's interesting is what the Broncos have done. I mean, right now you could say Broncos, Patriots, Colts, because we got to mention the Colts got Hakeem Nicks, and I think that was huge since last time we were on. But to me, Sanders is probably better than Decker because he's more versatile. He can go outside. He can do the slot. You know, Sanders, I don't think you can cover him so much one-on-one like Decker. Even though Decker's bigger, I don't think he has the speed to get off, and Sanders does. I think Sanders could wind up with more receptions than Wes Welker. I think this guy might wind up being Peyton Manning's new favorite target. I know Ben Roethlisberger loved him, and Sanders can do special teams. So if that kid Trendon Holiday doesn't stay on with them or whatever, either, you know, he does kickoff, Sanders can do punt returns. So I think the Broncos are ridiculously dangerous. I also think the Eagles and what they've been doing, they're going to be dangerous. NFL, man, it's fascinating. You know, your boy Ted Ginn Jr., he went to the Cardinals, so all the receivers have officially left Carolina. And we'll see what continues to happen. We'll continue to bring it to you. Maybe give you a little update on Saturday. Who's the biggest guy out there to you that still needs to sign? Is it Jared Allen?
Is
it Maurice Jones-Drew?
Going to the Cowboys. Yeah, I still think those running backs. I mean, even though this is a passing league,
yeah.
Chris Johnson, Maurice Jones-Drew, Ben Tate signed with the Browns. So I think that's a
huge.
Good, solid pickup for them. But, yeah, I like those two. I mean, these two are all pro material, you know, at least a couple of years ago. So maybe they're not that now, but they can certainly.
You got some injured tight ends out
punch.
There, Owen Daniels and Jermichael Finley, who I think are still good, but they're still out there, some injured tight end guys. So I'd like to see the Jets get somebody, though. I think the Jets,
need
to.
A little oomph on offense.
I'd like to see maybe the Jets could take a chance on Jermichael Finley.
If his medical condition clears, that's not bad. I mean, they have Kellen Winslow. Is he still under contract, or is he gone?
No, he's a free agent as well.
He's
Kellen
a free
Winslow.
Agent? All right, so Jermichael Finley, if he's healthy, they were also talking about drafting that kid from North Carolina, the tight end. So one of the first two picks has to be an impact offensive player, I think, for the Jets, because they're not doing much in free agency. I mean, they brought over Eric Decker, which I think is a solid, solid pickup for the Jets. But,
but
they need
you
more.
Need
they
someone
need
to
more.
Help him. And
oh,
if you don't
course.
Get a wide receiver, I mean, like, even if you sign, if you draft a tight end, I mean, maybe you bring in a Nate Burleson, who's a solid veteran, because really we don't have anybody, you know? We really don't have anybody.
And not only that, but it exposes the fact that Eric Decker's not a true number one. So you're going to put even more pressure on a guy who's really a number two receiver to – act like a number one when he's not. So very similar to what
to have him with Curly. That's not enough.
Had to deal with. So anyway, that's so we got enough. Great show. Great show. We've got a big time show again on Saturday to talk some NCAA March Madness and fill out your brackets. Get in on Warren Buffett's billion dollars.
Yeah. I think that'll be kind of interesting. I think, you know, like I said, on the ESPN Tournament Challenge, join the group with us. Join Ray and Tay. You have some fun with us, you know. And that's it, man.
All right.
Thanks for listening.
Talking sports with friends. We'll see you on Saturday. Talking March Madness.
Let the madness begin. It's going to be crazy. Peace.
Gentlemen, once again, it's that boy, crazy killer. Right now.